At dinner that night, we found that Robert Cohn had taken a bath, had had a shave and a haircut and a shampoo, and something put on his hair afterward to make it stay down. He was nervous, and I did not try to help him any. The train was due in at 9 o'clock from San Sebastian, and if Brett and Mike were coming, they would be on it. At 9:20, we were not half through dinner. Robert Cohn got up from the table and said he would go to the station. I said I would go with him, just to devil him. Bill said he would be damned if he would leave his dinner. I said we would be right back. We walked to the station. I was enjoying Cohn's nervousness. I hoped Brett would be on the train. At the station, the train was late, and we sat on a baggage truck and waited outside in the dark. I have never seen a man in civil life as nervous as Robert Cohn, nor as eager. I was enjoying it. It was lousy to enjoy it, but I felt lousy. Cohn had a wonderful quality of bringing out the worst in anybody. After a while, we heard the train whistle way off below on the other side of the plateau, and then we saw the headlight coming up the hill. We went inside the station and stood with a crowd of people just back of the gates, and the train came in and stopped, and everybody started coming out through the gates. They were not in the crowd. We waited till everybody had gone through and out of the station and gotten into buses or taken cabs or were walking with their friends or relatives through the dark into the town. "I knew they wouldn't come," Robert said. We were going back to the hotel. "I thought they might," I said. Bill was eating fruit when we came in and finishing a bottle of wine.
"Didn't come, eh?"
"Nope." "Do you mind if I give you that 100 pesetas in the morning, Cohn?" Bill asked. "I haven't changed any money here yet." "Oh, forget about it," Robert Cohn said. "Let's bet on something else. Can you bet on bullfights?"
"You could," Bill said, "but you don't need to."
"It would be like betting on the war," I said. "You don't need any economic interest." "I'm very curious to see them," Robert said. Montoya came up to our table. He had a telegram in his hand.
"It's for you."
He handed it to me. It read, "Stopped, night, San Sebastian." "It's from them," I said. I put it in my pocket. Ordinarily, I should have handed it over. "They've stopped over in San Sebastian," I said. "Send their regards to you." Why I felt that impulse to devil him, I do not know. Of course, I do know. I was blind, unforgivingly jealous of what had happened to him. The fact that I took it as a matter of course did not alter that any. I certainly did hate him. I do not think I ever really hated him until he had that little spell of superiority at lunch, that and when he went through all that barbering, so I put the telegram in my pocket. The telegram came to me anyway. "Well," I said, "we ought to pull out on the noon bus for Burghete. They can follow us if they get in tomorrow night." There were only 2 trains up from San Sebastian, an early morning train and the one we had just met.
"That sounds like a good idea," Cohn said.
"The sooner we get on the stream, the better."
"It's all one to me when we start," Bill said. "The sooner the better."
We sat in the Iruña for a while and had coffee and then took a little walk out to the bull ring and across the field and under the trees at the edge of the cliff and looked down at the river in the dark. And I turned in early. Bill and Cohn stayed out in the cafe quite late, I believe, because I was asleep when they came in.